Hi, this is Dr. Tim Turlip from Turlip Chiropractic. I want to invite you every Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock to listen to 30 Minutes to Vitality, where we'll discuss topics of interest that will affect your health and mine and how we express greater wellness and well-being. If you happen to miss a live episode at 11 o'clock, you can hear it again at drturlip.com, where all podcasts are posted there and available at any time, day or night. So look forward to spending time with you every Wednesday at 11 o'clock for 30 Minutes to Vitality.
And there you go. Heard it right from the doctor's mouth. Good afternoon. JW here with you on JB Radio. Of course, it's that time once again, a little past the hour of 11 o'clock. We'll be here till the bottom of the hour, 11:30. With your questions, comments, or concerns, it's your turn to ask the expert here in the studio. Our expert, of course, being Dr. Tim Turlip with Turlip Chiropractic. Phone number here at the studio, by the way, is 352-796-7272. 352-796-7272. 7272. You're going to want to have that to call in with your question, and Dr. Turlip is going to answer that for you. In the meantime, it's your 30 Minutes to Vitality, heard every Wednesday. And again, if you miss it, you can hear drturlip.com. That's drturlip.com, where you can pick up past episodes. And of course, again, on Saturday mornings, right here, JB Radio. Good afternoon, Doc.
Good afternoon, and welcome to a soon-to-be wet and wild Wednesday.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Wet and wild. That's WWW, right?
Oh, I like it.
Wet and wild Wednesday.
I like it. Alliteration is us.
There you go. So Turlip Chiropractic is located right here in the heart of Spring Hill.
Yes.
Northcliff Boulevard, 8466 Northcliff Boulevard. You can call their office, make your appointment today, 352-666-2222.
So, yeah, and today we're going to talk about something that is actually really important to human health and well-being, but isn't something that's often looked at as something that we need. And it's actually human touch.
Thank you.
Which is just an amazing, amazing healing property. It does incredible things. And the research is actually coming out, and has been for probably 10 or 15 years, to the point now that there are large institutions, universities, Stanford, South Florida, lots of Cleveland Clinic, lots of very staid institutions that now actually have full centers that are developed and isolated and looking directly at human touch and its relative aspect to health and healing and how we do that. And one of the first things when we talk about it sometimes at the office, you know, people kind of look at you and go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Right.
And of course.
It sounds kind of weird.
Yeah.
And it does. It really does sound kind of weird. And it first started being looked at as something that could affect health just after World War II, when there was, it doesn't matter who the physicians were or what it was, but there were a lot of orphans, obviously, babies.
Right.
They were orphaned after World War II. Mm-hmm. It was very sad. It was just a very difficult time. And all these orphaned babies were taken in one specific orphanage where babies were actually taken in. And the babies were all fed well.
Mm-hmm.
They were all kept clean. They had shelter. They had the right temperatures. They had clothing. They had, I don't want to use the word sterile environment, a clean environment, hygienic.
Mm-hmm.
So all these kids were in there and well fed, well taken care of.
Yeah.
But yet all these children kept dying.
Oh, okay.
And they couldn't figure out what was going on with these poor kids because there were a lot of them. And they were all being cared for, but so many of them were dying. And they couldn't figure it out. Well, over time, what they realized is all these kids, there was no one caring for them to hold them, to nurture them.
Right.
All that kind of thing. And so they start saying, wait, there's something going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And when's it? Because the kids that did actually have someone that would actually take care of them would thrive more. And so the physicians who were there and caring for it actually started to notice this difference. And that's where they first started looking at it.
Interesting.
Right. It is kind of an interesting thing. So that's first where that interest got peaked. And over time, they started being looked at with neonates, with newborns, predominantly. And what we found was that there were premature babies. Right, who would be born. And a lot of times if they have problems, they're put in incubators and they're in isolation and that sort of thing, and they don't get touch. Well, what people started to find out again, even with that, and there's been studies that validate this over and over again, is that a baby that is actually premature, that one is put in an incubator, isn't touched, but is given, again, well cared for, hygienic environment, et cetera, doesn't thrive as much and doesn't grow. Where you'd put children who actually then would be given massage, who would be rubbed, who would be held, who would be all those good nurturing things, and literally could have their body weights change. A premature baby who might be 3 pounds all of a sudden becomes 5.5 pounds and does it at 2.5 times faster than the child who didn't get the nurturing.
Wow.
Right? And so people go, so wait a minute. So there really isn't, some people would actually talk about touch, but the first thing that many researchers had started early in the early days would say it's placebo. You know, JW thinks that this touch is good. Therefore, the placebo effect is going into effect. You think it's real. Therefore, it's real. Therefore, you get healing.
Right.
Sure, that can be a part of any therapeutic intervention exactly. that we have, is that we believe it's going to work. And lo and behold, thank God it does.
Yeah.
Right. So that is the placebo effect. And that's real and also well documented. But a baby who's actually, you know, 6 days old,
right.
who weighs 3 pounds, has no cognitive knowledge yep. of belief. Or understanding, or perception, or framework in which to put all that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the placebo is completely negated in that situation
Good.
Because there is no thought. Mm. There is no understanding that goes into that, but yet we see these physiologic changes. So we started looking at those things, and it was with babies. And then over time, and it started probably 15, 20 years ago, it was like being extrapolated to grownups,
mm-hmm.
you and me, mm-hmm. right? And how human touch affects us. And how it actually grows us and what it does to you and I. And the first thing we talk to people and patients in the office who say, that just sounds like hooey-hooey stuff.
Right.
You know, that's out there on the left, weird, wackadoodle stuff.
Right, yep.
And you go, no, it's intensely practical. And the first thing that I said, so when have you not had a stressful day that you didn't have some, maybe they didn't even know, but they came up behind you, they put their hand on your shoulder
yep.
and just were talking to you about something and maybe rubbed your shoulder a little bit.
Right.
Or maybe you ran into an old friend and said, hey, JW, how are you, man? You haven't seen him for a couple of years and you get a big fat hug.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you feel yourself melting.
Yeah.
And who hasn't felt that relaxation when someone put their hand and all of a sudden you kind of feel your whole being, your shoulders kind of slump a little bit.
Yeah.
You feel that melting aspect.
That's right.
Right. One of the things in the office, you know, seeing the number of people that we do, we get many people who've actually been experiencing a loss of a loved one.
Mm.
And we learned a long, long time ago to be careful initially not to actually hug someone who's actually walking in, actually able to keep it together, because you put your arms around them and hug them in a way of condolence to say, I'm so sorry for your loss, and to give them a hug by way of just support, that person breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All of a sudden you'll feel their body, just the shoulders go limp and the person, they just let go and the tears start to well up and they just, whoa, and the dam breaks. So why in the world would that happen? Because you wrapped your arms around somebody who actually looked fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is dealing with that loss and you wrap their arms around them and they just, it all, heaven breaks loose. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just all over. So we learned a long time ago to be careful when you're first working with someone who's lost a loved one, because they don't want you to actually have that happen in a public setting or a public environment, because then they've lost themselves and they got to get themselves back together again.
Right.
So there's a time to do that. And we've learned how to, you know, work through so we don't let that wall break, so the person in a public setting doesn't feel vulnerable.
Right.
One of those things.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So it's kind of neat. But when we started looking at some other institutions that were doing studies,
uh-huh.
again, removing some of the placebo effects, et cetera, but being able to look at blood work. So when we actually get a hug and we feel that good feeling that you get from a hug.
Endorphins.
It's endorphins. Yep. It's oxytocin. Yep. It's serotonin. Yep. It's melatonin. And when you mention that, they're all hormones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So it's all hormones that we get released. And so we're actually able to see and look at people and say, okay, great. JW, we have to make sure that you get 6 hugs a day. Right? This sounds
right.
crazy,
sure.
right?
No.
It almost sounds a little silly. Right? When you go, and Steve, you're going to get 3 hugs a day.
Right.
And Marvin, you're getting 12 hugs
okay,
a day.
Okay, Marvin.
Okay, all Marvin's right. got it going on.
Yeah, boy.
Right? And start looking at those things and actually do studies where they're actually taking the blood work at the end of a day.
Uh-huh.
And see what happens to you. This person got 3. This person got none. This person got 6. This person got 12. And you have a couple hundred people and monitor them for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And see what happens. And what's really, really cool is we're actually able to notice, and particularly oxytocin.
Okay.
Which is a hormone that gives us good feelings.
Right.
It makes you relaxed and it makes you feel nice.
It's
also the one that actually tends to be after birth when women are going through that.
Right.
It really goes up, which is why ladies tend to not remember the pain of the birth as much as the joy of the moment of getting the newborn.
Mm.
Right? Because I don't know about you, somebody actually tries to stretch my body like that, I'm not doing it again.
Mm-mm.
Right. But yet you'll have a lady who say, oh, I can't wait to have my next child.
Right. Right.
Right? And it, you see the warmth that's come across the face and the smile.
Uh-huh.
And it's some ladies not, but most will actually get that warm look of can't wait to have my next baby.
Right.
You know, because, oh, I just love her and it's just so great. And they're not thinking about, oh my God, it was amazing pain.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It seems to be the secondary aspect because the oxytocin actually kind of washes away some of the negative memories that are associated with that. So you and I get hugs. We tend to forget the pain, find ourselves relaxed, find ourselves elevated. And these people, the more hugs they would get, the higher levels you get to Steve, or was it Marvin?
Marvin.
It was Marvin. Lucky Marvin.
The man.
Marvin the man was getting those 12 hugs a day, and his oxytocin levels were significantly higher than the guy getting six, than the gal getting three, and way higher than the guy getting none.
Right.
Right, so actually able to demonstrate that. But then they started looking at ancillary hormones like serotonin, which again, most antidepressants are relative to serotonin.
Okay.
There's two different kinds, it doesn't matter, but they actually help to elevate the levels of serotonin in our body because it actually helps to elevate mood. That's what they're called, antidepressants, right? The idea of being serotonin makes you feel better and elevates mood. Well, guess what? Hugs elevate your serotonin levels as well.
Huh.
Really. It's an amazing, we've got the documentation and the research to show it. Now, it can actually, we've also got things where there's a fancy type of test called a functional MRI, sometimes called fMRI.
Okay.
And functional MRIs are kind of, not kind of cool, they're really cool, especially when they're used, and they're used a lot to look at brains.
Right.
So in certain things, you know, we'll show you a picture, we'll talk to you about certain things, and we'll see what parts of your brain light up. So it actually functionally looks at, does the MRI typically looks at the anatomy, but this actually can actually measure the function that's happening in different parts of the brain, and you can actually see them light up.
Mm.
So when we have these things that we could look at what happens with touch, with functional MRI, with references to touch and actually having it happen, was amazing as functional MRI, particularly with someone that you love, which your spouse,
okay.
Your sister, your brother, mm-hmm. as long as you haven't been fighting, right? an offspring, one of your right. children that, you know, he comes in the room and actually strokes your leg while you're in a functional MRI. Mm-hmm. There's parts of your brain that just go wacky, crazy, and light up. A stranger comes in, they still light up,
mm-hmm.
but they don't light up as much. And it's the areas of pleasure in the areas of rapport and relaxation that will tend to, you'll see that this elevated lighting up on the functional MRI. Kind of amazing stuff.
Yeah.
So we see chemical aspects. We see growth being affected in newborns. We see functional aspects in brain waves. We even have studies that look at EEGs,
uh-huh.
which is an electroencephalogram, which is what a neurologist will use.
Yep.
And we see them on the movies where they put little electrodes on our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll measure brainwave activity. And we'll actually even see changes in brainwave activity as well, which is, again, another measure of function of the brain when we talk to human touch.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the hugs. We get the reassurance on the shoulder. We get the rubbing. We're actually even able to see this with massage.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why massage therapy, you could actually hire somebody who you're paying to actually come in and give you a massage.
Yeah.
But even in that aspect, we're actually able to see those things happen with a complete stranger
uh-huh.
that you're even paying to actually do that. We'll actually see those things happen.
Now, let me ask you that. I'm going to stop you right there.
Please do.
So you bring up the ideal massage. Now, when we do go have our massages done, we wonder why. I mean, you would think with all the diseases and whatnot that are around
sure.
that most of our institutions, especially in healthcare, wear latex gloves.
Sure.
But with massage therapists, they don't do that. Are we talking about? No, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah, we're moving to another subject.
Right.
But no, so you're wondering why they don't wear latex gloves?
Well, no, but you know, I'm talking about that personal touch.
Yeah.
See, that actual skin to skin.
Absolutely.
In this study, did they even do something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And they do have some, and it is actually, there is more benefit to skin contact.
Right. Okay. All right.
There absolutely is.
All right.
Right. So when a massage therapist works, you're in it skin to skin. Mm-hmm. And the reason they don't wear gloves typically, as long as there's not an open wound or lesions.
Right.
Right. We're good because we're not having any necessarily any fluids that actually typically are infectious.
Yeah. Because there is a difference. So, I mean, someone touches you with latex gloves in an institution in an environment. Yeah. Right.
Hand on the back of your wrist or on your shoulder.
Right. Yeah.
Rubbing your neck.
Yep.
Right. There is absolutely.
So that's those little things you were talking about that run throughout your entire body from the, nervous system, the little.
All the nerve endings and the perception.
Right. Yeah.
Well, again, because when you feel touch.
Yeah.
Again, it has to be registered in the brain.
Right.
And there's all these tactile perceptors.
Yep.
And receptors in the skin that actually help us feel that. Yeah. And again, lights up again parts of our brains.
Yep.
Which is just people stop and without getting into more, we're going to talk about a couple more studies, which are just amazing.
Yeah.
Right. But anybody who has had a friend, you didn't want them to touch you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Who hasn't had somebody go, yo, John, get off me.
Yeah.
Right? I have a buddy of mine who always comes up to me and starts rubbing my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I want to go, what are you doing? Leave me alone. Why are you rubbing my shoulders? Right. But almost invariably I'll go, oh my God.
Right.
And it's not just that, it's bigger than just hands on your shoulder and rubbing your neck. There's that whole, you just start going, wow, there's a connectedness, there's something that transpires, and there's that something that we can quantify the chemicals, we can quantify the EEGs, we can look at functional MRI, but there's that special something that happens with perception.
Yeah.
Right? That it creates this relaxation that brings us to a different level of openness.
Yeah.
Which is amazing stuff when you think about healing,
right?
Because we've got to have it happen. Now, one study that they did it was about 3-4 years ago, and it was Stanford, if I remember correctly, and they looked at a bunch of couples, and they had two groups of couples, and I can't remember how many couples were in each group.
Mm-hmm.
One couple had instructions in massage,
mm-hmm.
in touching, in all these neat kinds of things. The other group of couples had no such instruction at all and were given no special anything. Right. So they both groups had blood pressure monitors that they would wear 24 hours a day.
Mm.
And they were documenting then when one couple would actually, the husband would give a 30-minute massage to the wife, or the wife would, give the husband a 20-minute massage, when they would hug, when they would kiss, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, again, interestingly enough, this is all non-sexual stuff.
Right.
Right? I want to be very specific on that.
Well, sure.
That has a whole different slew of things going on.
Right.
But this is just touching.
Yep.
Right. And they look at that and document how often it happened. Now, these were young couples. So I wonder, this is what's critical, is we think of people with hypertensive problems and heart rate difficulties mm-hmm. as being older.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So these were all couples under 30 years of age.
Okay.
Right. So every couple, no one was over 30. All right. So we don't tend to think of 23-year-olds as having hypertension.
Right.
Right. So they were looking at these folks. None of them were diagnosed with blood pressure problems or heart rate difficulties. Mm-hmm. But as they monitored these folks for a couple of weeks and monitoring the blood pressure, what they found was all of them at 25, 23, 27 years old, their blood pressures all went down between 10 and 14 points.
Wow.
Both the upper number and the lower number, okay. Diastolic and systolic numbers, right? So they both went down 10 to 15 points, right? With the people who had the more touching and the more therapeutic massages and more hugging and more kissing, and et cetera, et cetera.
Huh.
And their heart rates also went down between 5% and 10%.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
The group that wasn't doing anything special other than their normal junk, right?
Yeah.
Nothing happened to their blood pressure. Nothing happened to their heart rates.
Huh.
Right? Pretty amazing stuff. So we see in other areas as well where hugging, touching, therapeutic touching can also bring down blood pressure.
Yeah.
We actually see insulin receptivity, blood glucose levels can actually be altered.
Mm-hmm.
Through therapeutic touch. One other study was looking at wound healing, and wound healing was literally improved by 40%.
Wow.
Right? In people who actually had therapeutic touch, who were getting hugs, who were getting kisses, who were getting affection, legs stroked, arms stroked, feeling that human connection,
mm-hmm.
a 40% improvement in wound healing, even fracture healing, for goodness sake. Right, actually improving and actually demonstrating a resolution.
So it doesn't have to be over that part of the body. Say you break a leg or whatever. You know, you got to have a cast on that leg, so you're not going to be able to touch that. So we had a call, so we had just enough time to take this call. And good afternoon. Your 30 minutes of vitality. You're on with Dr. Turlup. What's your question?
Hey, doctor. I think you guys need to hug each other more over
here. You know, I was just thinking the same thing.
You know, it might be more conducive to both of you, you know?
Yeah, well, he always comes in and shakes our hand.
John could use a little more hugging over there.
Yeah, of course we can. We all can.
I'm going to be, but your study is very right, though, because I always say that touching is very healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not talking about two guys holding hands on the stuff.
Yeah, no.
I'm talking about like a nurse comes into the room or something, and she touches you, and it makes a big difference.
You bet.
And there's a difference wearing gloves or not, right? If she's wearing gloves or not, it makes a difference, doesn't it?
I suppose.
Okay.
I guess at that point, any bit of touching is better than nothing.
There you got that right.
There you go.
I want to ask something, Doc.
Please.
What's your thoughts on gluten? Because, boy, everybody's making a big deal about gluten. And I was telling Jared how back in Jesus' time, that's all people ate back then when they talk about all the bread and stuff.
Yeah.
But is there a difference between the breads back then and today, or what?
No, there really isn't. There is gluten itself. It's sort of like, do you remember the craze that happened? Oh golly, what was it? 25, 30 years ago, where fat was being vilified.
Oh, so was eggs.
Right, and everything that had fat in it. Fat is bad. Fat is bad. Fat is
good for you.
Right, and it was. It became low fat and it became the fat.
And then margarine and butter.
Yeah, and gluten is really the same thing. Grains have had gluten in them for thousands of years. Human beings have existed on it. And a piece of research just came out the other day, and essentially the conclusion of this research was stop the insanity. Because, again, the only people that need to worry about gluten are those with celiac disease.
Okay.
Then indeed, you have that. You've got a leaky gut. And those folks really do need to avoid gluten. There is no question. But for you and I, we don't need to avoid gluten. Whole grains.
They make it sound like it's rat poison the way they talk about it.
Absolutely not. It's actually hyperbole.
I find these studies and these things on radio and stuff very disgusting because, like, when you listen to all this stuff, it's like, what the heck are you supposed to eat?
Right.
You can't eat nothing. You can't eat eggs. Can't eat butter. Can't eat bread. Can't eat pasta. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. And I bet you all these people are pimping all this products you're supposed to substitute it with. I bet you they're eating it enjoying their life.
You're right. And most of the gluten-free products are loaded with excess chemicals, excess sugar, excess salt to change the flavor. So they're actually more deleterious.
Uh-huh.
And gluten, wheat,
so gluten
whole
is
grains.
Your wheat wheat products, right?
Predominantly, absolutely.
Okay.
And again, whole grains, the more unprocessed, the better. But by all means, unless you've got celiac disease, please enjoy it.
So you mean, Doc, I can actually go back to eating my tuna fish and peanut butter sandwich?
I wish you would.
All right. Well, matter of fact, I'm heading right to the refrigerator now. And I'll let you guys go, and you guys make sure you hold hands, okay?
We will do that.
Okay, bye.
And we'll send a hug to you, Derek Craig. Okay, good. So we got about 2 minutes left, Doc.
That was pretty fun.
Hey, they're listening. They're responding. And this, once again, goes to prove the Doc knows what he's talking about.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I like it. So, again, it does bring up a great point. And forgive me, there's no research behind what I'm about to say.
Okay.
The other stuff, I can pull up the documentation. Mm-hmm. I can pull up the research. But what the gentleman just mentioned is well, that kind of made me laugh. And we make the joke about, you know, two men holding hands
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Because why do we feel so uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
when we talk about that? Or two men hugging,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not, forget all the homophobic nonsense,
right, sure.
right?
Yeah.
It's because when we do that as well, one of the things that happens is we do get that release,
mm-hmm.
right? And in this stress-filled world that we live in,
yeah,
where it's go, 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 and don't turn on the news for God's sake because all you'll do is get whacked out, right? And it filled with all this stuff, we get these stress hormones, particularly cortisol,
mm-hmm.
which has a whole host of aging characteristics to it. It's meant for fight or flight. It's not meant to be there all the time. And most of the time, you and I walk around with elevated cortisol levels
sure.
in the environment that we live in today.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And one of the things that happens is, again, human touch has been demonstrated to lower cortisol levels, the stress, one of the main stress hormones that we get. It brings it down
mm-hmm.
with touch because we get more open, we get more vulnerable. So when they talk about two guys hugging or whatever, right, it's one of the things that it because you open.
Yeah.
And so one of the things, especially men with men, we tend to actually have that, you know, it's meant to be that way to some extent, right?
Right.
But you don't want to be vulnerable.
Right.
I don't want to be, whoa, right. That's not okay.
Yeah.
Right, because I'm not supposed to be vulnerable where I could be threatened or my family could be threatened.
Yeah.
It's that sense. It's kind of rudimentary, but it really is.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an interesting thing. So when we get over that,
Yeah.
And we can get to the point that we can get more human touch. We will enjoy more relaxation, greater health, lower blood sugar, lower blood pressure, lower heart rate. Greater immune function has also been demonstrated. So lower colds, lower flus, fewer pneumonias, all that good stuff. So
okay.
Touch is amazing.
There you go. Reach out and touch someone today.
You betcha.
All right. We'll see you next time, Doc, on your 30 Minutes
of
Vitality with Dr. Tim Turlip. Give his office a call, 666-2222, and keep it right here on JB Radio.